are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading an offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely in a spiritual communion with Christ our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 294. And in this episode, we'll continue reading from volume 4. Today we read number 14. The days immediately preceding the ascension, Jesus communicated with the apostles quite naturally. In those last days, he ate and prayed with them, walked with them in many directions, and repeated all that he had told them. He appeared also to Simon of Cyrene as he was working in a garden between Bethphage and Jerusalem. Jesus, resplendent with light, approached him as if floating in the air. Simon fell on his knees and kissed the ground at Jesus' feet, who signed to him with his hand to keep silence, and then vanished. Some others that were working nearby likewise saw Jesus. They too fell on their knees like Simon. When Jesus was walking with the apostles around Jerusalem, some of the Jews perceived the apparition and were terrified. They ran to hide themselves or to shut themselves up in their houses. Even the apostles and disciples accompanied him with a certain degree of timidity, for there was in him something too spiritual for them. Jesus appeared also in other places, Bethlehem and Nazareth, for instance, to those especially with whom he and his blessed mother had formerly had intercourse. He scattered blessings everywhere, and they that saw him believed and joined the apostles and disciples. On the last day, but one before the ascension, I saw Jesus with five of the apostles approaching Bethania from the east, whither the Blessed Virgin also, with other holy women, was coming from Jerusalem. Many of the faithful were gathered around Lazarus's. They knew that Jesus was soon to leave them, and they wanted to see him once more and bid him goodbye. When Jesus had entered the house, these people were admitted into the spacious courtyard, and the gates closed. Jesus took with the apostles and disciples some refreshments, standing unto the latter, who were weeping bitterly. He said, "Why do ye weep, dear brethren? Behold this woman, she is not weeping." And he pointed to his blessed mother, who is standing with the holy women at the entrance of the hall. A long table was set in the court for the numerous strangers. Jesus went out to them, blessed little rolls, and distributed them, after which he gave them a sign to retire. And now his blessed mother humbly approached to present to him a petition. But Jesus, checking her with a gesture of his hand, told her that he could not grant it. Mary thanked most humbly and withdrew. Jesus took a singularly touching leave of Lazarus. He gave him a shining morsel, blessed him, and extended to him his hand. Lazarus, who generally remained hidden in his own house, did not accompany Jesus when he left for Jerusalem with the apostles and disciples. They took the Palm Sunday route, though with many turnings and side ways. They went in four companies, allowing considerable distance to intervene between them. The 11 went on with Jesus. The holy women followed last. I saw Jesus shining with light, a conspicuous figure in their midst. The marks of his wounds were not always visible to me, but when I did see them, they were brilliant as the sun. All were anxious and greatly depressed. Some were in tears, others talking to one another, saying, "He has often before vanished from us," for they did not want to think that he would really leave them. Peter and John alone appeared more calm, as if they understood the Lord better. For Jesus often spoke to them interiorly and explained to them many things. He often disappeared and then suddenly reappeared in their midst, as if desirous of preparing them for his final departure. The way ran past charming little gardens where Jews were busy weaving and clipping the hedges, on which lovely bushes covered with flowers were growing in the form of pyramids. The laborers often covered their faces with their hands, fell to the earth, or fled among the shrubbery. I know not whether from fright and terror or from deep emotion. I do not know whether they saw the Lord or whether they could not see him. Once I heard Jesus saying to the disciples, "After all these places shall have been converted to the faith by your preaching, and after others shall have driven the faithful away and laid all things waste, then shall come a sad time. Ye do not as yet comprehend me. But when ye for the last time celebrate with me the Last Supper, then ye will understand me better." Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had prepared a meal, which was served in the entrance hall of the house of the Last Supper. The hall opened on all sides, and a passage ran from the left through the courtyard, which was planted with trees, to the little house with the kitchen hearth built near the surrounding wall. The covered walks on the right were opened into the courtyard, and here were set the tables for the disciples. They consisted of long planks only. The table of Jesus and the 11 was prepared in the entrance hall. On it stood little mugs and a large dish ornamented with delicate foliage, in which lay a fish along with some small rolls. On the disciples' table were fruits and three-cornered dishes containing honeycombs. Flat-bone knives were placed around. Near every dish lay three slices of bread, for there was one dish for every three of the guests. The sun had set, and it was beginning to grow dark when Jesus drew near with the apostles. The Blessed Virgin, Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea received him at the gate. He went with his Blessed Mother into her little abode while the apostles proceeded to the entrance hall. When the disciples and the holy women arrived somewhat later, Jesus joined the 11 in the hall. The table, only one long side of which they occupied, was higher than those in general use. The apostles reclined on cross seats, but Jesus stood. At his side reclined John, who was more cheerful than the others. He was just like a child in disposition, now quickly troubled and again full of consolation and joy. The lamp over the table was lighted. Nicodemus and Joseph served. I saw the Blessed Virgin standing at the entrance of the supper room. Jesus blessed the fish, the bread, and the herbs and passed them around with words of earnest instruction. I saw his words like rays of light issuing from his mouth and entering that of the apostles, into some quickly, into others slowly, according to their greater or less desire, their greater or less hunger after the teachings of Jesus. At the end of the meal, Jesus blessed the cup, drank from it, and then passed it around. This, however, was not a consecration. The love feast over, all assembled outside the hall under the trees. Jesus addressed to them a long instruction and ended by giving them his blessing. To his Blessed Mother, who was standing in front of the holy women, he extended his hand. All were very much affected, and I felt that Magdalene ardently longed to embrace Jesus' feet. But she restrained her desire, for his demeanor was so grave that he inspired holy fear. When he left them, they wept very much. It was not, however, an exterior weeping. It was like the weeping of the soul. I did not see the Blessed Virgin shedding tears. I never saw her actually weeping, excepting when she lost Jesus, a boy of 12, and on her return journey from the Paschal festival, and again when she stood under the cross after his death. The assembly broke up before midnight. This brings us to an end of our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. I'm just deeply touched, moved by the Lord Jesus, because he went and appeared to Simon of Cyrene. That Simon who saw Jesus in such a bloody, disfigured condition. Simon of Cyrene who came to believe, who heard about Jesus from the apostles, that he was able to receive this visit of the risen Jesus. Jesus had great care for Simon of Cyrene, it seems. And in the pages that are left in this book, I wonder if Simon of Cyrene will make another entrance. We'll hear more about his conversion or his life. He's a person that has intrigued me now since I've been reading about him in this volume. Jesus walked with the apostles around Jerusalem, and some of the Jews perceived the apparition and were terrified. They were terrified. He's supposed to be dead, but yet he's here. We've heard his teaching. And so they all ran away. And then Jesus went and he spoke with other people that he knew that he should go to. You know, kind of maybe a way we could think about these resurrection appearances of Jesus is, you know, I went to school, for example, at Conception Seminary. And when I get back down to the area, there's a few people that I got to know during my time down there that I make a point to reach out to go visit, to reconnect. Seems like that's what Jesus is doing here with these resurrection appearances. And then this is a very interesting thing that happens here. His Blessed Mother humbly approached to present him a petition, but Jesus, checking her with a gesture of his hand, told her that he could not grant it. Mary thanked most humbly and withdrew. So, you know, Mary intercedes for us, and I think sometimes we hear that phrase like, Jesus will never deny his mother, but yet here she comes with a petition. And Mary is so open to God's will that she thanks most humbly and withdraws from Jesus. She brought a petition, and so when she intercedes for us, know that maybe sometimes what happened here happens when she brings our petitions. But like her, we thank the Lord for at least giving us attention. We thank him for we know that he knows what's best for us. And then Jesus goes into the home, into the little abode of the Blessed Virgin. So Jesus is spending, this is the day before the Ascension, he's spending significant time with his mother on the day before he is to leave. Spent all those years with her, and this final day, he wants to make sure that he spends enough time with her. I guess we could only imagine the things that he spoke of with her. And then, as Jesus is speaking, it says that I saw his words like rays of light issuing from his mouth and entering that of the apostles, into some quickly and into others slowly. So the same word of God that he speaks, some embrace it very readily. Others, maybe it takes a little bit, slowly. I know in my own life, sometimes I'm like that. I'm a bit reticent when I hear a preacher or somebody. But then I come around to it. So I would be one that maybe the word enters slowly into me. Others are more eager. Then you have Mary Magdalene wanting to embrace the feet of Jesus, but she refrains from doing so because she knows that the Lord at this moment probably does not want her to do so. Kind of remembering those words of the resurrection, stop holding on to me. But we still see the desire of Mary to be at the feet of the Master, Mary Magdalene, to really be that disciple, to be that apostle, to the apostles. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope that you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others, rate and review it wherever you listen. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.